This is the BritLit podcast with dramatic readings and dialogues from British literature.
The school year is winding down and we are into our last unit. That is our unit on George Orwell's Animal Farm. We've been doing some discussions on the propaganda techniques that were used. Talked a little bit about the allegory between the Russian Revolution and the characters in Orwell's story. And for two of our last podcasts, we are going to let you in on our class discussions. We took a look at some of the techniques that have been used historically as well as in advertising. And we're just going to sit around a table and have a conversation. So feel free to listen in. Well, this is second period British literature, and we've been studying propaganda. What were some of the propaganda techniques we've been studying?
Ooh, ad hominem.
Euphemism,
ad hominem.
Bandwagon, glittering generality.
So those are kind of the four main ones we're going to talk about today. And we've been reading Animal Farm. That's kind of where they've jumped out at us. So we've got some people that are going to kind of share what we found about these propaganda techniques from Animal Farm. We might get some animal noises and maybe we can coax Micah to give us a phrase or two from the beasts. Let's see. But yeah, let's start with glittering generalities. Who did glittering generalities?
Oh, was that you? Ashley.
What were glittering generalities, Kelly?
What are they?
Yeah, what's a glittering generality?
It is vague words with positive connotation.
Okay.
So it's like the opposite of name.
Okay, it's opposite of calling someone names. So like, give me some examples. What would be an example of a glittering generality?
Like a word?
Sure.
Something like empowerment or challenge or active. Just words that mean something to people.
Good. What were some examples that we saw of glittering generalities over our studies?
I think Ashley had one.
Well, Ashley's going to Ashley studied at Animal Farm, so we can look at
the Sprite commercial.
Okay, what were the glittering generalities in that Sprite commercial?
The entire commercial.
You're cool if you drink Sprite.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's more bandwagon.
Right. So they flashed all these words like dancing and hip hop and empower, you know. Be strong, be confident, independent.
Right.
When they throw all those words out there. Like, what about from advertising?
Examples?
Yeah. What did you find?
Well, there's like Tag commercial that, you know, we've all seen. Where, you know, the guy like sprays Tag on himself and then like it's like has the idea that, you know, if you wear it, you know, you're gonna have all the girls and everything. So that's like a generality just because, you know, it's not really giving any like logic or anything to the, you know, to the product. It's just like trying to avoid, you know, the actual, you know. So.
So Elijah, do you wear
Tag? No, Johnny.
He doesn't succumb to the pressure of propaganda.
So you don't need Tag. You don't need it.
What were some of the other examples of glittering generalities? Moving away from our deodorant spot here. Like, what about from history? Have politicians used glittering generalities, or is that a?
Yeah, mostly I think I have a lot of more negative uses down as opposed to positive ones. So I have dictators such as like Caesar, Lenin, Mussolini, Stalin. Even though Caesar isn't technically a dictator, he did use
like how did he use
like
them?
That. Well, like when he did speeches and things like that, he would use like words to rally the people, like, you know, freedom, fighting. Well, not necessarily fighting, but freedom, banding together for the better good, and things like that.
Cool. Did you have any specific examples that you found, like any cartoons or anything like that?
No. I don't have any, like, specific cartoons or anything, but...
But essentially, a glittering generality is any time where they use words that evoke emotion.
Right.
That's kind of the idea. And to piggyback on... no intended piggy. I just said piggyback. But the kind of, you guys talk about the reverse of, thank you, Kelly, for that.
Yeah.
I appreciate the sympathy you laughed at. The opposite of glittering generalities is ad hominem, right? What tell us about ad hominem, Austin.
Well, I mean, for those people who don't know what an ad hominem is, I mean, it's basically attacking an opponent's character rather than answering his argument.
Okay, so for example?
Well, we have many examples.
Shoot one at me.
Well, an example in the Animal Farm, actually Johnny said he has one.
Example?
An example of ad hominem?
Well, the animals is like the pig, they attack the, they just like attack the humans by saying like, we're not going to wear clothes or sleep in a bed, just like anything that human does. And I found that on the Seven Commandments.
Okay. So how is that an ad hominem?
It's because they're like, they don't really have, they just like don't like the humans, so they're like thrashing everything that they have. Like, everything that they do, you can't, the animals can't do.
Okay, so basically, rather than addressing the argument or the idea, the concept, they just attack the presenter, the human. Interesting. How else is ad hominem used?
Well, it's used in many advertising examples, along with the Animal Farm and many historical.
What were some of the advertising? Who found advertising examples of ad hominem?
I did.
Rochelle.
Well, I couldn't find the commercial. I looked for it, but there's an Alltel commercial where, like, everyone from...
Alltel, that's like a cell phone?
Yeah, Alltel's a cell phone, and then, like, people from Singular, Verizon, Sprint, and, like, T-Mobile, they all come and they just... they pinch the Alltel guy just because they have a good deal. Like, they're just attacking the person... They don't have anything like to say about it, so they
like,
just go.
Physically, they pinch him.
Yes.
Have you guys seen this commercial?
Yeah,
I haven't seen this.
And then the Alltel guy's like, "Did you just pinch
they're
me?"
They're in like the van. Or
whatever.
I've seen that.
Oh, and then he says that he can do much worse.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
All right, give me a rundown of the commercial.
No,
what happens?
All right, so
reenact.
There's this guy, and he comes in, and he's representing Singular, and then there's a team of four or five guys who represent Alltel, and they pick him up and they put him in his van. Then they start talking to him, and then
it's the other way around.
And then he.
So whatever it is, they're picking on him.
And then he says, "Well, don't you guys just want to be friends or something?" And they go, "No, we can do things or something." And then he's like, "What kind of things?" And then they go, "Like pinch." And he's like, "Did you just pinch me?" And then they don't become friends because they're saying that networks.
They don't mention anything about service
exactly.
Or about...
Exactly. That was a good one.
Nothing? The commercial doesn't mention anything about their cell service or their pricing plans.
No,
or
at the very end, but
right.
Like...
It's an afterthought. Essentially, they're slamming on the other plate, on the other people. Right. Interesting. Pretty good ad hominem. So we've got these glittering generalities. We've got ad hominem. What were the
that's
other techniques we had?
Euphemism.
What's euphemism?
Euphemism is basically replacing plain English with deliberately vague jargon to obscure or soften the meaning.
Okay, so for example?
Like an accident would be an incident, and a break-in would be a security breach, and a police officer would be a peace officer.
Why do they do that? Why don't they just say it the way it is?
Because it sounds better to people. It's more...
Okay.
Appealing.
It's more appealing. All right. It's a good kind of piece of propaganda. Joy found something interesting. What was it you found how the government uses the euphemism?
Well, they can use it either as like political terms, like an undocumented worker would also be known as an illegal alien, or like pro-choice. How's that choice when it's the decision has been made favoring the legalized termination of unborn babies?
So they don't want to call it pro-abortion. They'd rather call it pro-choice because it's softer, right? It doesn't sound as blatant.
Termination is also a euphemism for like killing.
Right.
Yeah.
Rather than saying somebody is killed or murdered, they're terminated.
And also like organizations use euphemisms sometimes. Like the Newsweek could also, like, a suggested name would be a Leftism Week.
Okay.
Or, like, Planned Parenthood would also be, like, Planned D-Parenthood.
Interesting. Stuff like that. That'd be kind of a reverse euphemism, right? That shows that, you know, not necessarily what it is, but it uses a softer word. What was the other one? We talked about the War Department. The U.S. it used to be called the War Department, which sounds pretty harsh, and this is a popular euphemism. What do you guys know what they changed it to? Yeah, the Department of Defense. Department of Defense sounds much softer than the War Department, right? How do they use euphemisms in advertising?
Well, like in a deodorant commercial, they'll say BO instead of body odor.
Okay.
Mm.
Keep it short and simple.
Yeah, just, and then, like, there's an advertising about, like, a resource control program, and it sounds like maybe, like, protecting the forest or something like that, but it's, like, saying that they were going to remove the forest.
Sweet. So rather than saying we're getting rid of the forest, they... what do they call it again? What's the euphemism?
Resource control program.
Okay, interesting. Resource control. Excellent. Good, and what was our other... So we talked about, we got glittering generalities, ad hominem, euphemism, and bandwagon. What's bandwagon?
Bandwagoning is like basically just a popularity thing where people go along with a certain idea just because everyone else
does. Okay. So, for example, what were some of the examples you guys found of bandwagoning?
In advertising, there's, like, some ads that say, like, 4 out of 5 dentists use Crest or preferred Crest toothpaste, and one in Texas is the Ford is the best in Texas. They're really not the best. They just want everyone to believe that they are and go along with it, so...
Yeah, what other examples of bandwagoning did you guys find?
I like that Sprite commercial.
Yeah, same one that used those glittering generalities. Hip hop is cool, right? It's that idea. Everyone's doing it. Good. What else? What did you guys find from? Do politicians use bandwagoning?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It was first used in 1848 by a. President Lincoln's jester named Dan Rice.
And so what was interesting little historical tidbit? How did they use it?
Bless you.
Well, Dan Rice was a clown in the circus.
Okay.
And he pretty much did, like, he got, you know, the people's attention by, like, playing music.
Okay. So he said jump on the bandwagon.
Pretty much.
That was kind of the idea.
It was a term, jump on the bandwagon, yeah.
Nice. So do politicians use it? How have you guys heard politicians or in
AA
history
meetings.
Using bandwagon? What was that?
They use it a lot in AA meetings.
Okay. How so?
Because you got to get on the wagon.
Okay. All right. You want it's this idea of everybody is getting a place. It's probably also used.
There's a Seinfeld
previous
episode about
to
that.
Previous to going into AA. A lot of people drink because of bandwagoning advertisements. Have you guys seen alcohol advertisements, beer advertisements using bandwagon?
Mm-hmm.
How do they use bandwagon?
Like everyone's drinking.
Yeah, they'll show a party you know, on the beach with the cooler of Coors or whatever, Budweiser.
Coronas. Coors is in the mouth.
The ones where they're all, like, the guys sitting around the table, there's, like, a, you know, professional cowboy and all stuff. They're all,
what
like,
is
talking
the man,
about
man laws. Man laws. Yeah, that's total bandwagon, right? All of these guys, all of guys everywhere, you know, this is what we establish. Yeah, that's total subtle. Nothing about the product, right? It's purely, hey, jump on the bandwagon, right? Good. Well, we've been also talking about Animal Farm. We've been looking at it. How is propaganda used in Animal Farm? What do we find? What'd you guys find? How is propaganda used in Animal Farm?
Yes.
Yeah.
By whom? Okay.
Orwell.
Orwell.
Yeah.
Yeah, how is propaganda used, actually?
It is used by glittering generalities when the pigs try to convince the other animals that life would be better without Jones.
Okay.
And they do that by saying the beast would be one.
Ah.
Yes. And part of it says, riches more than mine can picture, wheat and barley, oats and hay, clovers, beans, and mangle whorls shall be upon that day. Bright will shine the fields of England, pure shall its waters be, sweeter yet shall blow its breezes on the day that sets us free.
So it's essentially using all these flashy words,
yeah,
you know.
Telling how much better life would be.
Right. Excellent. Total glittering general. Is it normally used by who normally does all of the propaganda?
In glittering generalities?
Well, yeah, or in all of them.
Isn't it the pig?
Did you guys find out who were the ones using the propaganda most of the time?
The pigs.
The pigs, typically? And we talked also about allegory, that Animal Farm is an allegory for something larger. Can anybody give us a quick recap on what the allegory is?
Communism.
Yeah. Tell us about it, Micah.
Well, it's just with Lenin and Stalin, and
okay.
Like old major is Karl Marx,
okay.
Instilling all the ideas of communism.
Good. And Stalin used propaganda throughout their kind of takeover. And who is the symbol for the propaganda in Animal Farm?
Squealer.
Yeah. Okay. Squealer. Good. So what are some of the other examples of how Squealer used? Anybody find any other examples of how Squealer used propaganda?
I did.
Yeah.
When he was trying to convince the animals, when Napoleon killed all the animals, he was trying to convince them that it was for the better, and he used words such as like loyalty and obedience.
Oh, okay. Right. He kind of skirted the issue and threw out these words, you want to be loyal? Dude, those are awesome. Good, glittering generalities. What about ad hominem? Was there ad hominem? Oh, we talked about that. What was our ad hominem that we used?
Like, they just attacked the human race.
Right, okay. Instead of establishing why clothes are bad or alcohol is bad, they just say
no clothes or alcohol.
Yeah, because humans do it, and that's why. Good.
He also used like reverse psychology, was saying that, oh, we don't like the apples and milk, but you know,
right.
We need it to be stronger or whatever, when really they wanted to just hoard the apples.
Certainly some faulty logic there. They kind of smoke and mirrors.
They did the same
them.
Thing with the beds, like they didn't lie in the beds before, and then they were like, well, now we need it, you know, without the sheets so that we can sleep and be able to think better for you.
Right. And all of a sudden the people, unsuspecting, you know, kind of, you know, education, they didn't really know what was going on, and they just kind of slid a fast one over. Good. Anybody have any other closing thoughts on propaganda? You guys are all victims of propaganda. Society, anybody buy anything from an ad this week?
I don't know if it'd be because of an ad, but stuff.
I went to Chili's after seeing a commercial. I just I was totally, yeah.
Do you really think the cooks are always smiling? Because that's what they always show.
They're not. I work at a restaurant.
Probably not. But you know what? It got me in the door.
And why are all the cooks good looking? Because I'm pretty sure they're not all.
I work at a restaurant. They're not.
That's a good question. Well, that's all we've got on propaganda. Hope you guys enjoyed that. We will see you next time. We're going to look at a couple of other different propaganda techniques with the second period class, so you guys can listen in. Fourth period class. This is second period. Awesome.
Now you know.
Next.
Our super show.
Should we close with a stanza of Beast of England?
No.
We are the Beasts of England.
Beasts of Ireland.
You've been listening to the Brit Lit Podcast, a production of Mr. Craig's 12th grade British Literature class in Grapevine, Texas. Check us out on iTunes or leave a comment at the website at britlit.podomatic.com. Listen in next time for more dramatic readings and dialogues.